Nation.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right. Welcome to this week's episode of Unfuck Nation. I am your host, just as the man said, Gary John Bishop. Thank you, as I thank you every week if you're a regular listener of the show. If you're new to the show, well, you just got your first thank you for being a listener and for being part of what we're creating here over at The Nation. I have wanted to do this show for quite some time, for a number of reasons, but I think the most, I think, we'll get into it and you'll see the reasons why. So very often with everything that I do, people will come to me with things that belong in the domain of psychology. Okay. Now, I have a lot of respect for psychology. What I'm doing here is not having any bash at psychology. Not at all. Couldn't be further from the truth. But what I do is not psychology. What I do is ontology. That is the study, the interest in a human being's various states of being and why we end up being the way we end up being. So ultimately, it's all about you being you. And that includes authenticity and authenticity, a whole conversation for integrity, and so on and so forth. But very often people come to me with things that are distinguished in the psychological domain, and they'll try and plaster it onto ontology. Now, I've said this in other interviews I've done with psychologists, conversations I've had with psychoanalysts and psychiatrists and therapists over the years. When you hear me talking about ontology, you'll hear echoes of psychology. And I'm not talking about psychology. I can't be more clear about that. And it should be added, a psychologist is not talking about ontology. There are therapists and psychologists all over the world who are using my books to empower their clients. Okay, so like I said, there are echoes, but it's not psychology. Which gets me to this week's subject, because there's a psychological term that people love to use that ontologically is not the same. And the phrase that people use is imposter syndrome, right? So I'm going to take apart imposter syndrome from an ontological perspective, because I feel that that experience that people have doesn't get you to the source of it. And I think ontologically, it does get you to the source of it. And I also feel like the whole notion of imposter syndrome is just grossly misused by people, right? I'm not saying by professionals or therapists or anything like that. I'm talking about by people. Now, the first issue I have with imposter syndrome is I think it's very unfortunately named, right? And anybody who's associated with ontology will tell you language is critical, right? Because the connection between language and being is harmonious. So the way you speak and the way you be are in a dance with each other. So if you just take the whole notion of imposter syndrome, it doesn't even fit, because the word imposter is for a person who literally practices deception. Now, anybody who's experienced this thing that people call imposter syndrome, they don't have a sense of themselves as practicing deception, right? They don't have that. And the second part of that phrase, imposter syndrome, I have a problem with the word syndrome. I think most people hear syndrome and they think they've got some kind of condition, right? Psychologically, syndrome is really just a set of behaviors, right? But I think it's clumsily named because I don't think people hear it like that. People hear it like they've got some kind of fucking disease, because that also is the meaning of the word syndrome, right? You can have a condition or a disease or symptoms, okay? So anyway, I think the name of the fucking thing is clumsy. And I think what it leaves people with is just kind of spinning their wheels, right? Because the definition of imposter syndrome is, and I'm going to read it out, actually. I got this from I can't even remember the source online, but it's a legitimate, respectable source. It's a behavioral health phenomenon described as self-doubt of intellect, skills, or accomplishments among high-achieving individuals. And I say, ontologically, that is not what's going on with you as a human being. That's what you experience, but it's not what's going on, right? And so I posted something about this last week, and people got their fucking knickers in a twist. Oh, I don't agree with you, which is fine. You know, I'm not there for you to agree with. I'm there for you to think about. And usually, I will add this in. When usually I hear people saying they agree or they disagree, I mean, it's fine, but there's no thinking happening, okay? But, and there's not. I mean, our mode, my mode, your mode, all of our modes, when we're looking at social media, one of the first things at the front of our mind is, do I agree or disagree with what I'm seeing, right? And you might already fucking disagree with what I just said there, right? That's how prevalent it is. So anyhow, ontologically, if I look at somebody going in an environment with this thing called self-doubt, that is a doubting of self, it's not happening in a vacuum, right? It's there. So when people talk about this thing called imposter syndrome, they literally feel like they're going in an environment where they're supposed to be something or be someone that they don't think deep down that they are. That's it. Now, again, ontologically, I would ask, but why? Like, why would I feel that way? If you set aside the self-doubt, self-doubt's nothing in a vacuum. It's nothing. Self-doubt is only a problem, or it's certainly an enlarged problem, if you like, when it's in a group, when it's in a group setting, or in an environment where my self-doubt, that is doubting of my skills or accomplishments or qualifications or appropriateness for whatever I'm doing, the last thing I want is to have that be uncovered as a human being. This is why many times people come into a medical school, go into their first, you know, job, and they experience that thing called imposter syndrome, because even though they've got all the qualifications, what they're faced with is it's still them. And all of those qualifications were in one way or another designed to overcome themselves. Yes, that's why people do what they do in life. It's literally to improve what they think is not quite good enough. And then you get the qualification and you realize those whispers from the past are still there. That's it. So that experience of fear, by the way, which is what it's driving it ontologically, that experience of fear is that background noise could get uncovered. That's what people are avoiding. So ultimately, in the background of all imposter syndrome is that the very thing you've been trying to get away from in your life could get exposed. The symptoms of that are self-doubt, even though you have the qualifications and the appropriateness and the whatever it is to be in the environment that you're in. The symptoms are self-doubt. It's not at the source. The real source of it is the threat of exposure. That's what's at the fucking heart of it, right? Now, that gets me to my next point, right? And people have asked me, you know, it's, in fact, somebody did ask me on that thread on, I think it was Instagram, well, how do you deal with a threat of exposure? How you deal with a threat of exposure is authenticity. That's it. So you tell the truth, right? So if you're dealing with fear, you acknowledge it. I'm dealing with fear right now. I'm just new at this. And I feel as if, you know, like everybody here is more qualified than I am. And so, you know, I'm just kind of stepping into this newly. And, you know, whereas I'm qualified and I'm ready, you know, that little bit of hesitancy is in the background. That's authentic. That's real. And that'll dispel it. So in other words, you get external about what's going on with you internally, right? It's okay to be nervous. It's okay to doubt yourself. All of that's real and appropriate to whatever situation you might find yourself in. You will kill this quote unquote imposter syndrome right there in the moment. It'll disappear. Authenticity is the kryptonite to this thing that psychologists might call imposter syndrome that I would call fear of exposure. Right now, that gets me to the next part. I've had this numerous times online and I've seen it many, many times. People have even actually asked me this to my face. They'll say, yeah, but why didn't you just say all of that? You missed the point of ontology. Ontology, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, the transformation show. Go back and listen to that fucking show. Ontology is not linear like that, right? Everything that I do online, don't take it at face value. Every time you read something that I've put online, think. Think for yourself. And question. Sure, question me. Question yourself. But that's what I'm out to elicit with people. A genuine, authentic inquiry where they dive into something. I mean, the first statement of that imposter syndrome thing was, people don't have imposter syndrome. Now, that first sentence fucking hooked people, right? You don't know what you're talking about, right? Ontologically, you can't have it. If you're in an inquiry, you go, well, I want to look at what he's saying here. I can't have it. Well, I might experience it, but I can't have it like a belonging or a disease. I can't have it. There's nowhere for me to have it. There's nowhere for me to locate that. What I might, quote unquote, have would be an experience of something. So I might experience it. So, but there's no inquiry with people, right? And that's okay. I just want to educate you now. And I've said this in the past at my books, that the juice isn't in what the fuck I'm saying. The juice is in how you think about it. But like everything, and I learned this myself the hard way. Many years ago, when I was first getting into ontology, I noticed that there was this, my first kind of run through it, if you like, was all what I agreed with. And so I cherry-picked and highlighted what I agreed with. What I learned to do later was question my disagreements. And that's when I learned the art of an authentic inquiry, where I noticed the arising of my opinions and what I've come to believe to be true. And then it really is a mental practice of setting that aside to allow myself to look at something newly. And I continually have to set things aside to look at something, to allow whatever it is to speak to me. Now, I know that sounds a bit fucking woo-woo, but most of the big breakthroughs in my life have been from that kind of thinking, where I allow myself to continually set aside my view or my opinion of something to investigate it further. And then in that process, what I notice is how attached I am to my view. Even if something new speaks to me, right, if I discover something new about the subject, then I'll notice how much I don't want it to be true. Like I want to hang on to what I know about this subject. So I'm laying all of this out here for you today, not only to kind of break down this notion of imposter syndrome and what it is for me as somebody who loves ontology and speaks of ontology. You know, I feel as if there are aspects of ontology that will get you right to the heart of something, right? Just like we did here, like really what's going on with people who experience this thing called imposter syndrome is a fear of exposure. That's what's in the background, right? 2-3 layers below. Like really, and there's a lot of our lives are actually about that, are actually about what we think is true, like deep down, what we feel is true about ourselves. This thing that you call a persona or a personality, and yeah, and I know in psychology those are two different things, but fucking not in ontology. Everything's a facade. Ontologically, when I meet somebody, I just treat the whole fucking thing like it's a facade. And that, and in a conversation, we can get to some authenticity, but you first have to get through all of the constraints and all of the bullshit, quite frankly, that we project to the world. But everybody has the possibility of being authentic. Everybody. That's problematic because the things that we think are authentic are just another mechanism to protect ourselves or have ourselves succeed. That's it. It's all just elements of ourselves that we put together over time as we were growing up that we had no real sense that we were putting it together. So, yeah, it's important for me to make clear for you, sometimes when you're coming to me with things, I'm not giving you a psychological perspective. It would be really fucking stupid of me to do that. I'm not a psychologist. I haven't read that much about psychology. I'm not versed in it. There's a lot of people out there, especially social media, but everywhere, a lot of influencers, a lot of people who should quite frankly fucking know better, speak on subjects that they're not conversant with. I will never do that to you. And you'll notice, you know, if you go back and listen to all the podcasts, I stay in my fucking wheelhouse. I'm not talking about religions and politics and, you know, whatever else takes fucking culture wars. And I'm not speaking about whatever takes my fucking fancy. Why? Because you'd just be getting another guy's fucking opinion. What use is that to anybody? Oh, here's my opinion, right? What I'm out to do is impact you with a body of work. And it's a body of work that I'm conversant in. So you should take this to the bank. Anytime you read something about me on that I've said online or something that I've said in an interview or, you know, some post on Instagram or TikTok or whatever the fuck it is, you need to know that that is something I'm conversant with. Like, that's not just thrown out there, right? It's part of something bigger and something greater and something that I can talk about at length, right? It's not frivolous. I do understand, though, that some things you'll see online and even in the books that you'll get confronted by. You should start with the idea that that's the fucking point. Start with the idea that that's a point. It's not shock value, it's think value. It's to make you think, to box you in and force you to think. To box you in and force you to think. And I'm unapologetic about that because it takes a lot. Well, I know it took a lot for me to think. What I used to call thinking was in fact just regurgitating old fucking thoughts, pondering something like, but it was all wispy and non-penetrative and made no difference in the quality of my life. I am out for you to think your way to success, to work out your pathway, to discover your own barriers, not to have somebody come along and say, oh yeah, this is your problem. That'll make no fucking difference. That'll make no difference. Like even if I said to you, oh yeah, yeah, that's imposter syndrome. What the fuck difference does that make to you? Okay. Oh, no, I'm suffering from something else. What if I say to you, look, all that you're dealing with is there's a fear of exposure. The question is for you is, what is it that you wouldn't want people to know? And you would answer that question authentically, like, oh, I just don't want to look like a fucking idiot in front of people. That makes sense. Okay, well, you can see your actions are lined up with that, right? Then you should just be authentic about that. And then you'll be over it in a fucking heartbeat. So to me, I've often felt held this belief. I think I've been around ontology many, many years, in and out of workshops and all kinds of conversations and writing about it and basing what I say around it, certainly around an ontological perspective, right? I might not be married to ontology, but I think you can say there's, I'm confident in saying there's a very solid grounding of ontological philosophy at play in everything that I say, okay? And like I said, that and being around it for as long as I have, there have been people who have participated in this kind of work that I really feel as if they should probably go see a therapist, right? I mean, that's my opinion, right? But, you know, there are people who are seeing their therapist and they probably need a good ontological coach. They're more this side of it. I guess the challenge is, can you find yourself a good fucking ontological coach? Because in my view, there's not a fucking ton of them, right? They're a good one. There's a lot of people who purport to be ontological coaches. In fact, I remember many, many years ago, I came across an ontological coach and I asked them to distinguish and create for me ontology, and he couldn't. He fucking couldn't tell me what it was. So anyhow, it's important for me to let you know that we're not doing psychology. It's not my field, right? And this all came to me, by the way, out of that single fucking Instagram post, right? Because I noticed that my failure was for people to get past their state of agreement and disagreement. That was my failure. That's where I failed. But then there are times when, you know, I like to elicit that. I like to bring that forth. But in that case, that was my failure. And I acknowledge that. I'm responsible. But it's really critical moving forward from anywhere here forth. By the way, if you're going to buy another book, or if you're going to listen to a podcast, or you're going to, you know, listen to an audio book or whatever, you need to keep it in the front of your mind that we're dealing with ontology and we're dealing with inquiry. Inquiry isn't linear. It's not 1 + 1 = 2 + 3 = 5. Okay. It's not, it doesn't go in a straight line. That's the thing with an inquiry. I could set you with a statement or a question and it would ring your bell, and somebody else could read that statement or be in the inquiry of the question and it does nothing. And even if they did dig into it, they might get something entirely different out of it. And that's, I think that's one of my loves of ontology, that it opens you up, it exposes you to something. But it's, you have to keep that in mind for yourself as you listen to the podcast. You have to keep that in mind for yourself as you're reading the books. You have to keep that in mind for yourself, even if you've just bought the fucking calendar. It's an opportunity for you to think, for you to ponder, and for you to allow yourself to be informed, not specifically by what I'm saying, but by what it brings forth for you. That's the most important part for me. This is why I don't want to be somebody's fucking guru. I don't want to be somebody's fucking leader. I'm not interested, right? I don't want you to follow me. I want you to follow the possibility that this conversation brings forth for you. That's all. Right? I'm at great pains to point that out with people. Any result you produce, you're producing. Okay, I might have said something. I did not know that you were going to get from that what you got from it. Right? I mean, I wrote Unfuck Yourself. And, you know, I wrote that book for a number of reasons. But overall, my point was just to kind of get this philosophy out there. I had no idea that it would impact people the way that it did. I mean, I got emails from people saying, I finished the last page and it was the last time I ever did drugs, right? And they were more specific. They were specific with the kind of drugs they were doing, which was fucking really heavy duty. I had no idea that somebody who was in their spot in life could read that book, and what they get from that book is that they need to take the life over and take charge of that, and that they could get that fuel out of that book. I had no idea that would happen, and it fucking did. And other people got that, you know, they need to commit themselves to a relationship. Other people got that it was time to end one, and on and on and on. To me, again, that's the fucking beauty of ontology. That's why it became one of the loves of my fucking life, this subject, because it's so giving. And ontology, when you start to dwell in it and sit in it and think of it and ponder it, it just fucking talks to you as a subject. It talks to you. There's a simple logic in human beings that doesn't need complication. It doesn't need, and I realize I just said complication in a really weird way, but anyway, it doesn't need any complexity, right? When you can kind of approach a human being from the perspective of their ways of being and acting, you'll see you're pretty simple. You're not that complex. But if I was to break down all the fucking little things you do and all the I could have you spinning like a fucking tornado, which I think is counterproductive. And again, one of the reasons why I love ontology, because it gives people a sense and it also empowers people, right? Like if you got this, again, we'll go back to what we started with, right? Oh yeah, that's imposter syndrome, which it doesn't provide me with anything. But if I ponder fear for a moment, and I'm like, oh shit, this is just fear. I might even look at that and be like, that fear is inappropriate to the work I've done. And in fact, dishonors the work that I've done to get myself here. Fuck the fear. You see how like it gives me something else, right? Or I might get the opportunity to be authentic, right? Like just be upfront, but that's what's kind of got me a little bit disconnected, because that's all it ever does. Ultimately, most of the shit that we deal with as human beings is just we're being too internal. We're making it about ourselves. You know, I've said this many times, it's in the books, I've said it many, many times. If your life isn't going well, yeah, just take a look. You're making it about you. You're making it about you. And if you let go of that desire, because that's what it is, attachment to making it about you, you'll see in certain situations, you've not only got a lot more freedom, you've got many, many, many more options than you thought you had. And again, even having that kind of conversation with people allows them to think and look at their own situation and see like, oh shit. And that could cover so many different areas of a person's life, right? Like from your body to your relationship with your brother or your career or everything I just said there applies.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
So, not only is this show about breaking down what's in the background of imposter syndrome, and again, as somebody who talks about, writes about, comes from the perspective of ontology, for me, from where I'm sitting, imposter syndrome is not a thing. It's not a thing. Somebody who takes a psychological perspective would say that's a thing. And there are these areas where psychology and ontology don't meet, right? This is one of them. You have to get, like, ontologically, I always want to get to the source of something. What's the source of something? Who are you being? And in a situation like that, who you're being is fearful. That's who you're being. The complication is, logically, you know you shouldn't be. You know you've done the work. You know that you're qualified, or you know you have the skill or the competency. But that doesn't deal with the fear in the background that you might not be enough, that you might not be good enough, that you might not fit in, and that all of that will get seen and known and exposed. Ontologically, that is the phenomenon. That's the heart of what's going on right there. So I trust I've put this to bed for a bunch of people. And feel free to go, if you're on Instagram, feel free to go and find that fucking post. But it was such a good response from people, even the people who were like disagreeing with it and la la la. It was so good and juicy for me because I could see all the places where people get themselves tied up, right? And I can see all the places where people don't inquire. They don't go beyond how they're currently thinking or what they currently know. And if you're going to be around an ontological conversation, you need to practice going beyond that. Because number one, ontology is not widely discussed outside of certain fucking philosophy classes at college or university. But I really feel as if it should be. I think, my passion is that people start to relate to ontology as a kind of grounding for understanding themselves. Right, a really great foundation for understanding what makes their machinery work. And before you start asking me for ontological books or books on ontology that you should get, no. There's so fucking much. There's so many different takes on it by so many different philosophers. So what you get is my version. Okay, you get my spin on an ontological approach to being alive and to dealing with life and to empowering yourself. And it's my act of service to you and to the world. This is what I'm using my life for, right? And I'm not even, this isn't a moment, but I'm getting fucking emotional. I'm very dry, but this is what I'm using my life for, getting this out there to people, to empower them so that they can live the life that they want to live, and that I have no judgment about any of that. However you want to live, it's fucking up to you. And if you want to live with no integrity, you'll get the results of no integrity. If you want to live with integrity, and when I say live with it, I mean live by it, then you'll get the results that are more consistent with that. You know, you'll deal with the day-to-day highs and lows of managing your life and integrity, or in a condition of integrity, which is not as easy as it fucking sounds. So anyhow, ontology is the name of the game here at The Nation. It's what we do. So I invite you to engage with it in a way that will really serve you and open you up to understanding something that maybe you thought you had an understanding of or had some knowledge of, maybe understanding it in a new way or a different way. I have no problem with however you want to wrestle with that, right? You know, I guess you've kind of gathered this. In my lifetime of doing this, I've had people get really pissed off at me, like angry and, you know, accusatory and all kinds of shit. I can sit through that. That's okay. Right? Oh, you're callous and you have no compassion and you don't fucking really care about people and you're shaming people and all that's okay. Okay. I'm fine with all of that. Right? Usually the people that are saying that kind of shit to me have no idea what it takes to work with a human being such that they transform. No fucking idea. Some have a limited idea. None of them have my experience of it, to the degree of my experience of it, literally thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people all over the world. So that's the tricky thing of ontology. You can't, there's no qualification that's specific to what I do, and I'm not even sure there should be. I think the only way to really develop yourself in this conversation is to speak it, live it, share it, and see the difference it makes. And the better you get at it, the more proficient you become at it. My qualifications can be found in the lives of the people that it's impacted. Go fucking talk to them. Right? And there'll be people that it doesn't impact, and that's okay too. Right? I'm not saying it's fucking works for everybody. When I say works, I mean not everybody's open to it. If you're open to it, it'll work. Everything that I'm saying, everything that I'm doing, if you're open to it, it'll work for you. But yeah, we don't take a linear approach. This isn't the ABCs of living a great life. This, every time you hear me talk, every time you engage with me, you know, you should be ready for something coming up that'll catch you in the throat. I'll give you this one little piece of advice, okay? Whatever catches you in the throat, don't make that about me or what I'm saying. And it's not like I'm saying, don't criticize me. You want to criticize, go ahead. Whatever catches you in the throat was supposed to catch you in the throat. There's something there for you to get because you're the one that got caught. You're the one that got hooked. Your first statement to yourself should be, oh, shit, that's interesting. Why that? That's a great place to... I love hanging out with the shit that hooks me. I love getting to the source of that, like getting underneath that, seeing, oh, yeah, that's that fucking thing that's been hanging around in the background of my life since I was a kid. People love to think they're not attached to all of that. You are. You're attached to it. All those years ago, and again, fuck's sake, stop doing that shit. Wise as fuck, grow up. It's in all of these books. Everything that hooks you right now is something that you've been hanging on to for decades that you might not be aware you're hanging on to. That's why I want to do this book. I assert that there's five things, and there may be a sixth one. There's only five things that get people fucked up. Five things. And they live with us like internalized sentences. And no, I'm not going to fucking lay them out because I'm working on it for a book right now, okay? But I do want you to know, like, your weight, see those people you see online who are getting all fucked up and losing their shit, seemingly nothing? You're way more like those people than you think you are, right? Even the people who say, you know, they're losing their shit and they've lost all their composure, god-awful fucking things are falling out of their mouth. You are way more close to that than you can imagine. Those people, and usually you'll see them on social media, have been hooked. But what hooked them wasn't what was said to them or what was done. What got hooked is what was going on with them at a very deep and profound level. It just seems that life hooks us, but it's not life that's hooking you. And it's not your partner that's hooking you. Think about it this way. You're just hooked waiting to happen. You're hooked waiting to happen. Now, that might seem like bad news, but that actually could be great news for you. But I'm going to save that for another day. I'm wrapping this show up for this week. I'm so glad I got the opportunity to create this with you because I've so wanted to kind of get you into this idea of thinking and this idea of relating to what I'm saying from a slightly different perspective. I'm okay with you coming to me with things that you understand at a psychological level, but what I'm saying might not connect with that. That's it. That's simply it. I'm sure one of the many therapists who listen to this podcast, I'm sure there's tons of things they've heard me say that doesn't fit with their discipline. Doesn't fit at all. And I also respect that they've probably been intellectually dexterous to allow themselves to be able to hold it in a space intellectually so that they don't let it get in the way. Let me put it that way. All right. And by the way, much love, props, respect to those people and what they're doing and their challenge and what they've given their life to. But it's not what I'm doing here over the nation. All right, I'm wrapping it up there for this week. Thank you for being so fucking great and for being one of the thousands of people who listen to this show every single week. I love you. I honor you. I respect you. Next week, we'll be back with a question from the nation. 646-450-3203. If you want to be part of that show, if you've got a question for me or a subject you would like me to get into, also connect at GaryJohnBishop.com. If you haven't checked out the Unfuck store, make sure you pop in there. We've still got a few of those t-shirts left. And before the new batch comes in, we're working on some new designs. And these designs that we have there right now, when they go, they're gone. We won't be bringing them back. And some of them are, I know, are amongst your favorites, like the lightning bolt and things like that. So with that, have a great one. I'll see you on the flip side.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.